Hello and welcome to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 278, and I am Kevin.
And I'm Denny Villeneuve.
I'm Daniel, and the Blue Jays lost, so I'm sad.
I'm Doug.
Oh, the intern, and I'm also sad the Blue Jays lost.
Okay, let's go back to the Blue Jays losing, guys. They had their chance. You guys can't complain. They had
their chance. They were ahead 11-4, weren't they?
No, they won, but the Red Sox and Yankees both won.
Right, so but I mean, my argument is they had other games they should have won and blew it. So, I mean, that's the way it crumbles.
Yeah. I mean,
the Dolphins stunk up another game. They showed up last week. This week they went to sleep again. So, you know what? It's sports. We move on, and we wait for a real season to start called hockey.
Oh, okay.
Or rabbit season. You're waiting for rabbit season.
I'm waiting for rabbit season. Maybe
so
I'll
you're
go,
gonna go out. Is this when you?
Maybe I'll go out to wear, Wolf Rills.
That's you put on your Elmer Fudd outfit and go out for Halloween then?
Yeah, Wascally Wabbit.
Can't wait. Can't wait for Bob to come trick or treating at my house.
Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. He owns a mansion and a yacht.
He owns a mansion and a yacht.
He likes to hunt. He's allowed to. So yeah. What's been happening with you, Kevin? Your world traveler, you?
I think I've hit every COVID hotspot in North America.
I still haven't got it.
Wow.
No, I still haven't got it. And because I'm vaccinated, I'm protected. I wear my mask.
You can still get it even though you're vaccinated, I found out.
You can. A small number of people may have a breakthrough infection, and you can certainly carry it.
Yeah.
But I have not been either. So.
Okay.
I mean, basically, if you're wearing a seatbelt, you can still die.
True.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I've tested negative everybody.
I'd rather not do that either.
Q-tips have seen the interior of my brain far more than anything else last month. So.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I was in Orlando and Dallas and Boston and Calgary. So, All the great right-wing places, aside from Boston, of course.
How far is Calgary from Lake Louise?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
We have this thing called Google. Have you ever heard of it? You punch things in. And
no, I never heard of it.
Calgary to Lake Louise.
That's where the honeymoon was for my niece. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, pretty close to Banff is my understanding. So, anyway, yeah, lots of cons are back. You can do them with distancing and masking, and it's safe. So, it's in my experience. So,
okay, yeah. I looked it up. It's an hour and 56-minute drive, so it's a 2-hour drive.
I looked it up too.
There you go. Well, I didn't make the drive. Sorry.
Well, I don't know why he needed to randomly bring that up, but I did look it up for you.
I apologize to his niece, Kevin, who had a wedding there years ago.
No, he's talking about a wedding until he went 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you were
ask
at Lake Louise 2 weeks ago?
Ask him about that story and how he was
no,
late.
No, I was at
wedding.
Hamilton 2 weeks ago. The honeymoon was in Lake Louise.
Right, okay. But you were late for the wedding because you couldn't find a parking space. Because there was only one.
That wasn't why. It took 3 hours to get there.
Oh.
You had an hour and a half to get back.
Because you got lost, obviously.
No, I followed the directions exactly. I Googled them and then did Google Maps and then go directions on how to get there. Exactly.
Party time in Hammertown.
Okay. Anything from you, Doug, or everything's like copacetic?
Only big news is my eldest son has put in his film portfolio to apply to NYU, so.
So he's going to finally do the documentary on us, the Extra Features podcast. It's finally going to be seen by other people.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I can't wait.
But, we'll find out. December 15th is when we will know whether he's accepted, declined, or waitlisted. So
just so the people in the audience know, every day I put a picture while we're recording behind me. When Owen gets accepted, his picture is going behind me.
Nice.
There might be some conflict because my birthday is the 16th of December.
We don't care about you.
So
I don't care.
Okay, well, I'll put a picture of myself up.
Then we'll have Danielception. We'll just go inside Daniel.
Wait. no.
So, have you guys watched anything recently? We've been busy doing horror podcasts and stuff, which will be up shortly. Well, they'll be up by the time they hear this, because we're having some WordPress issues, but I'm trying to deal with it.
Just the movies for the podcast.
Excellent.
I can tell you, a week ago, I took my youngest son into New York City for the world premiere of The Many Saints of Newark at the Tribeca Film Festival. So
very nice. And you know what's funny? Cool. I still haven't watched it, but it's on my list for this week, so it will be done.
No spoilers for me. Although I will say the movie does spoil the TV show. So.
Well, that's fine. I've seen all the episodes.
Okay.
I will apologize for not watching it earlier. I got sucked into this show called Below the Deck about these yachties and the people that work underneath. I find it fascinating. All these people trying to stab each other on the back and then they'll spend the whole season together. And then, of course, my favorite's the reunion show at the end of the season. So instead of watching your movie, Doug, which I was going to do today, and it was football, I watched that instead. But I will get to it this week. I got to watch Old Henry this week, that movie this week, and I still got two more Wong Kar-wai movies to get done.
Okay. We're ready to get into the
Mood for Lavas this week, yes. That's okay. The other one.
Nice. Should we get right into the podcast movies?
Yeah, I think we should finally get there. I'll keep rambling on.
Okay. Well, today I saw Legend of the Ten Rings.
No,
Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. They didn't really have a transition for that one, but that's okay. The film is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, starring Simu Liu, Awkwafina, Tony Leung, Meng Er Zhang, Fala Chin, Michelle Yeoh, Florian Montano, and, I mean, people probably have seen it by now, so we can spoil the cast member, Ben Kingsley.
What? Ben Kingsley's in here? I already saw the Mandarin.
Wow, he's in here, yeah.
But he's not the spoiler. The spoiler is his little buddy.
Oh, Morris?
Morris, he's the star of this movie.
Like Captain Marvel, the cat's the star of that one. There's a little weird faceless creature that's the star of this.
Pig.
So before I continue, Kevin, this is your favorite thing to discuss is Marvel films. I don't want to take this from you. Go ahead.
Well, it's okay. You can go ahead if you want.
No. Fine. I will go. I saw this opening night with my daughter. I'm trying to make an effort, like Kevin told me. I have to bring the youngings to the film. My youngest daughter did not want to come, so that was fine. I had a good time. That fight scene on the bus is freaking amazing. And then it continued. I'm still into it when they had the whole Fight Club from the Thing comic books, I remember. They totally lifted that from there. Fine. It has Wong. Whenever Wong shows up, I'm happy. And the Abomination was kind of cool. Oh, spoiler. Hee-hee. And continue on. And I thought that was kind of fun. I had a lot of – and I loved Morris, and the Mandarin was great. My biggest problem is the third act. Nothing happens. And that fight scene at the end did nothing for me. Absolutely unimpressive. I mean, the way they took out his dad in 2 seconds and the other cool guy in 2 seconds, I was like, really? I kind of wanted a little bit more of a showdown between them. I understand they took the focus off his dad being the bad guy and the guy that trained him being the bad guy. And made these monsters, but I didn't care at that point. I was kind of like, okay, guys got to ruin the end. I kind of was looking forward to a big showdown against him and his dad for the 10 rings. I was kind of looking forward to that. Then he gets the rings and the little narration, you are my son, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care anymore. I thought the end credit scenes were predictable. I really thought it was like, okay, I don't really care. So overall, I enjoyed it. I think it was a good start. Awkwafina got on my nerves occasionally, but she usually does, so I wasn't surprised. I really don't think she's that good an actress is really my problem. I find she's the same character in every movie I see her in. Even Crazy Rich Asians, she plays this character. So Shang-Chi's a good C, must sit. Probably won't make my top 10 list, but I did enjoy it.
All right. Thank you for going first. Just refresh my memory a little bit because it's been a few weeks. I think I enjoyed it, but I had a lot of similar problems. I actually thought it started off a lot clunkier than most Marvel movies.
It does. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point where a lot of the Marvel movies were so familiar with the characters and situations that something new just seems awkward.
Yes.
And I thought this movie starts off awkward. But it gets there. I mean, I actually had no problems with Awkwafina. I thought she was a real delight in this film. She was the comedy relief. My only issue with it is that she becomes Mulan by the end.
Suddenly she does.
She's the greatest archer ever.
Look at me. I learned archery in one day.
Yeah, not even that, like an hour, 45
minutes. An hour. She got it. It's like Doug's barbecue. You put a steak on that, boom, you're a grilling master.
I was happy to see a movie in 3D that I enjoyed. To remind me why I like 3D movies. That scaffolding fight on the side of the building outside of the club.
It's amazing in 3D.
Was great. Really good. And then the Fight Club stuff was really cool. They're setting something up in there with the Thunderbolts, with Abomination, and Wong is training him and improving. And the Abomination is actually becoming more comic accurate.
Yes,
he's starting to develop the fins on the side of his head and things like that. So he doesn't look as weird as he did in that Hulk movie.
Sorry, which one's the Abomination? The one that was in the fighting ring?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't recognize him either, Daniel.
That's just coming from a guy who doesn't really read comic books.
No, I get it.
He was reading comic books.
He was the monster. He's the monster the Hulk fought at the end of the Edward Norton Hulk movie.
Okay, neat. Okay.
Yeah, so they're kind of bringing that in. And they certainly did a little bit with What If, where they had Ruffalo playing the Edward Norton part in one of the episodes.
Okay.
So I liked it. I thought Wen Wu was fascinating as a character. I thought his father was very interesting, but that he was so easily manipulated by the Dweller in the Dark is a little frustrating.
I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah. I liked the sister who's new to it. One thing that really struck me was that Shang-Chi comics are very spy oriented. They're very, James Bond style with martial arts in the background. This was not a James Bond style movie. This was just a straightforward action movie that turns into a Chinese mythology action movie. And they pull out every bell and whistle with the giant dragon dogs and the serpent like dragons in the water and all that stuff. I kept expecting it to open its mouth and actually start talking like Awkwafina, since it looked a lot like the ones from Raya and The Last Dragon. The Dweller in the Dark was interesting, and it's another, and his freedom or his escape is another one of those moments that may be breaking the multiverse, along with WandaVision and Loki and so forth, and the upcoming Spider-Man film. Because when Shang-Chi takes the rings away from his father, spoilers, some kind of beacon is alerted. And that's one of the spoilers at the end of the film. Sorry, I'm just going to wreck it all for everybody.
Yay.
I don't know. I thought it was okay. I thought Ben Kingsley was funny. I'm glad they brought him back. 5 minutes after he was back, I was tired of him. Trevor gets them through the forest with Morris. It's a funny sequence, but then he has no purpose after that. He's just like another comedy relief. We've already got Awkwafina. Now we have to have Trevor as well.
Trevor
was way better than Awkwafina.
Yeah.
And that'll be it for Trevor. We're not going to see Trevor again.
Hopefully not. But it was
we'll
nice
see Morris,
to see.
Though.
I don't know if we'll see Morris again then.
Come on, Morris has his forest friends. We could have a whole movie about them.
Morris in the forest. Call it Morris in the forest.
So Ta Lo, the dimension that they go to, actually is from the comics. It's from a Thor comic where Thor ends up going to Ta Lo, which is like a Chinese mythology dimension. So it's sort of like, it's like Asgard for Asian mythology.
Okay.
So, so that was kind of cool. Anyway, it was okay. Some good action sequences. Razor Fist, I liked that character. towards the end, the fact that he sort of, he doesn't redeem himself, but at least he tries to do right towards the end was interesting. And I do like that they sort of set it up so the sister will take on the same similar role as her father as head of the underworld. So, and she's of course bringing the Fight Club back and everything. So, so maybe we'll see more with Superhero Fight Club.
Maybe we just can't talk about it.
Exactly.
You can go, Deb.
Oh, okay. I'll be honest. I didn't really care for this movie all that much. I thought the bus fight was really cool. The scaffolding fight was awesome. Mm-hmm. My biggest issue was Simu Liu. He was just overshadowed by every other character in the movie. He was not the typical Marvel lead. He wasn't charismatic enough for me. He didn't grab my attention. I thought the sister, she was an amazing character. I kind of wish the movie was about her. She seemed better at martial arts than him. She taught herself. She didn't rely on people teaching her. She was very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. I wanted more about her instead of him, to be perfectly honest. And I just really was not into the whole ending where it just becomes a CGI dragons fighting each other. That's not what I want. I wanted to see, like Simon said, the fight between father and son, because Tony Leung, he's amazing.
I agree.
I've been a fan of his for a while. I think the first place I saw him was John Woo's Hard Boiled back in college.
Yep.
And he's amazing in that. He's amazing in Wong Kar-wai's films.
Yep.
And he's great when he steps up, and this is his first American film. But I feel he was let down in the end by, like you said, he was easily manipulated. I would have liked to have seen him as a stronger villain character than just to see two dragons fight each other at the end.
Well, he went out like a chump, but that's what pissed me off. He was literally done. I'm like, I'm over this.
And I bought that character, though, just because he is changed and he's kind of going back to his villainous ways because he wants his wife back. And he's just kind of called by that. So I bought it for those purposes, that he's only really being a villain at this point because he wants to do anything to get his wife back. So to me, I bought it.
But then you have the scene, the flashback where after the wife is initially murdered and he puts they're bracelets, they're not rings. I'm going to call them bracelets. When he puts the bracelets back on and then he goes to that club and he takes Shang-Chi with him and he just kicks ass there. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of villain I want, the underworld kind of Wilson Fisk type character.
Okay.
I didn't want the easily manipulated kind of guy.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. For me, I like the ending. It's just CGI extravaganza. I don't think it feels like it's almost kind of like the Suicide Squad in a way where it's like a human villain, but then it's kind of just big monsters, which I kind of liked. I don't think this is a great, like, if you're living under a rock and you haven't seen any of the Marvel movies, I don't think this is a great starting point because it doesn't really feel like a Marvel movie. It feels more like Snake Eyes almost, just with just the whole Asian mythology and just kind of the structure of it, which has like a lot of flashbacks to fill in the spaces, which I thought the flashbacks kind of told the story well, except for when they were on the plane and the woman was like, hey, do you want vegetarian or beef? I thought that it goes for a joke, but I thought that kind of took me out of it.
Did you take on the plane? Would you take the vegetarian or would you have taken the beef?
I probably just would have starved because I would have wanted the chicken.
Oh, you wanted the chicken. But weren't they out of the chicken?
Yeah, they were.
They were out of the chicken and the vegetable, the beef, so they only had vegetarian.
It depends on how long the flight is. If it's a long flight,
well, like they're going to Asia. Well, it's been a long flight. It's LA to China, but yeah. 8 hours? Oh, they're LA.
Maybe so 20.
That far. No, they're in LA. Are they not in LA, Kevin?
Yeah, San Francisco.
I feel like that's far to China.
10, 12 hours, maybe? I mean, it's still
a long flight. Yeah.
It's 4 hours to Hawaii. Is it another four to China?
As I'm talking, you can bet it, Simon.
Oh, you're right. I have Googled. Bob doesn't.
No, but yeah, I liked Awkwafina. I feel like her playing Danny DeVito made so much sense because, like, in Jumanji made so much sense because she sounds like an old guy, and that just seems like her character. And I thought the comedic relief here was good. I like the characters. I like the action. It's not great, but I thought it was enjoyable enough.
12 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Actually, 50.
But probably 20 for us.
It said 12 hours and 50 minutes on what I did.
Oh, I don't know. It gave me two times, depending on which plane I took. One was 50.
And that says some airlines could take as long as 42 hours.
Are you flying?
It went to Macau.
42 hours. Where are you flying from? England? Like some South Pacific? You got a delay at Heathrow or something? No, no answer. Okay, move it. Anybody else? We're done. Oh, Bob didn't talk. Intro.
Oh, Bob.
I was going to copy over that thing. It says, however, some airlines could take as long as 42 hours, because I Googled it. I said, how long is the flight from L.A. to China? Okay. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the reference, I didn't get the reference to Mulan until today when you started talking about it. I like the stunt choreography for the fighting. That was good. But it's sort of up until, like, I'm in the third act. I got distracted by, when Shang-Chi and his father started fighting and the 10 rings became 5 rings. One guy gets red, one guy gets blue, and I'm going, this is, Star Wars. Star Wars movie. They're fighting with the lightsabers, and I'm going, well, that did it for me. So it sort of ruined it for me.
Like the different colors did?
Yeah. No, the fact that I could compare it to the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, was it? I don't know which one it was, but it looked like he was saying, I am your father here.
And I go, okay, I have the high ground. Okay.
So it sort of ruined it. Otherwise, I would have, I did like it, but it sort of, like, reduced my liking of it.
Okay, because it fell to Star Wars. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're moving on to Bette Davis's Snake Eyes. You got those Bette Davis eyes. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, my God. Hey, Joe. Doug, do you want to go first? Because I can't follow that. Lead.
Let me do the cast list. I'll follow myself. G.I. Joe Origins Snake Eyes, directed by Robert Schwenke, written by Evan Spielautopoulos, Joe Shrapnel, Anna Waterhouse, starring Harry Golding, Andrew Koji, Haruka Abe, Peter Menash, Iko Uwais, Takehiro Hira, and Samira Weaving for what feels like 10 minutes.
All right, if you want me to go first, as much as I was lukewarm to Shang-Chi, I was cold to this. This movie is not Snake Eyes. The Snake Eyes I know, he was a silent assassin, ninja for G.I. Joe. You couldn't get Henry Golding to shut up. This really, aside from a couple mentions of Cobra, you have Scarlet in the form of Samira Weaving for, like Daniel said, 5-10 minutes of the film. There really is no G.I. Joe connection here. You don't get the Snake Eyes that you know from the comics, from the cartoon, from the action figures. It's really just a money grab. I wish Henry Golding was in a better movie. I think he could probably pull off a good action film. But this was not it. That this was a cash grab that didn't work at all.
I didn't even understand this movie in any way. It made no sense to me. Plot holes beyond belief. The Baroness shows up for 30 seconds and just talk. I'm like, what am I watching? Am I watching like American Ninja 10? Like, this movie made no sense at all. I was kind of like, this is not a G.I. Joe movie, because I don't understand, no Yo Joe, like, it's the origin, and I want to know who asked for an origin of Snake Eyes. If we're doing a G.I. Joe movie, shouldn't I have G.I. Joe? Maybe Serpentor or Cobra Commander or Destro. Not some random mob guys. Like, don't care.
Maybe when I was a kid, I would have been like, wow, why does that guy not talk? I don't know.
Well, but he's right. You couldn't shut him up.
Yeah.
It's like Deadpool and Wolverine.
This movie made no sense to me ever. I was so confused watching it. Like, for a movie about martial arts and they're blowing stuff, I'm like, I don't get this. I really got to say, this was so confusing, the plot. I couldn't explain it to you. And it really didn't make any sense. They start me off one way about his dad. I think he's looking for the killer of his dad, if I remember correctly. And then by the end of the movie, I have no idea what he's doing. He gets inducted into this Japanese Yakuza club. Wait, what? And then turns on that. I'm like, okay, I'm done. This sounds like Storm Shadow's origin. I mean, I'm done. This movie was crap.
It's kind of sad because I'm not sure you actually paid attention to the movie.
I didn't. I gave up.
I hate to say I watched it on a flight, so I had nothing else to do except stare and absorb this film.
Did you understand it?
And it does make its own sense. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that it should be a G.I. Joe movie. I'm not saying it should be canon. But it does make sense. I mean, so his father was killed.
I got that.
And so he has wanted to kill the people who killed his father, right? He's trying to figure out who they are and track them down. So somehow he ends them to wherever he gets picked up by the guy who eventually becomes Storm Shadow, who invites him to be part of his clan, his ninja clan. And he'll take him back to his island, special island or wherever his retreat is, and where he'll train him to be a master. And so I got to say, those are the easiest tasks that you could ever do to become a ninja master.
Come on, didn't like the water sequence?
None of them actually involve doing any ninjaing.
What about the snake?
You're supposed to stand really still and not get eaten by a snake.
It involves ninja intelligence to have the patience to ask for the glass of water.
Yes, exactly. Ninjas have to be patient enough not to just hit bowls. They have to ask for them.
I had a question about that. Maybe it's because I watched it at like midnight last night. Mm-hmm. But didn't Hard Master or whatever he was called say you only get 3 chances, but he passes on the 4th? Why is that allowed?
Correct.
Yeah, because the movie is poorly written and no one was actually paying attention to it. Okay. It's not, as I said, I'm not saying it's a good movie. So it turns out that he has been recruited by whatever they are, the snake people. What's G.I. Joe's enemy? Cobra. So Cobra has recruited him to infiltrate Storm Shadow's training thing and steal something, steal whatever is in their special jewelry case in the middle of it all. So along the way, we learn about the big fight that nobody else in the world seems to know about, which is G.I. Joe is fighting Cobra in the background, right? So Scarlet shows up to deal with the whatever, with the clan, Kagebushi clan or whatever it is.
The last half of this because I gave up.
But in the middle of it all, they explain what it is. What is G.I. Joe and what is Cobra? And in the end, he's been recruited by Spectre, but he turns on Spectre, Cobra. And he turns on Cobra and he joins G.I. Joe because it turns out his father was a Joe. And that's why he wants to be a G.I. Joe. Okay, so then at the end, Storm Shadow ends up being recruited by Cobra, by the Baroness.
I got that part.
He can't take over the family because he used the powers, which we might as well just call the Ten Rings for all intents and purposes.
So none of it was very interesting, but nothing explains why Snake Eyes is silent in every other appearance after that. Because the guy doesn't shut up. You're right. All he does is talk. You know, I keep thinking, shut the F up. Like, you're supposed to be Snake Eyes. Does he take a vow of silence? No. He just puts on a helmet and rides off on a cool motorcycle at the end of the movie, and that's it.
I was wondering if, like, the shame of the betrayal was like, oh, well, I'll take a vow of silence in the post-credits.
Yeah, or something like that.
Are you trying to kill Vin Dini right now, Mr. Watson?
Nope.
Okay. The cat is so bored by the shed, by the Snake Eyes movie. So I did not enjoy this movie. I did manage, I'm trying to figure out, how does this all fit together? I was never a big G.I. Joe fan, but it does kind of make sense in its own internal logic. For some reason, instead of doing, so the other two G.I. Joe films were the big build-up to the fight with Cobra. So their solution to, instead of doing the big actual fight with Cobra, was to take 10 steps backwards and do origin movies of characters that don't need them. Like Snake Eyes. Like, we didn't need a Snake Eyes origin movie. He's like, it's like Wolverine. Why does Wolverine need an origin movie?
He doesn't.
At least it's Hugh Jackman.
That's true.
At least it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has the never shutting up characters in common. So that's kind of interesting. I think it just took a page from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Although Deadpool shouldn't shut up, and they do. They sew his mouth shut.
So that's what you guys were missing here. You wanted to hear Harry Grooving thing.
Yeah, I wanted someone to sew his lips shut so he could shut up.
Now, for me, the movie didn't do a lot for me. Thought the martial arts were fine, but then you kind of watch something like Shang-Chi and it's like, oh, okay. Because I watched this movie like 2 weeks ago. I can't remember anything about it other than Ego Yue's keeps getting wasted in American films.
I watched it 2 months ago when it came out. The week it came out, I saw it.
Oh, wow.
And I immediately forgot it as I left.
Okay.
They could have gave me a questionnaire. I don't think I could have got it right.
Like,
what did you watch? I don't know.
Just like an exam, like, oh, God, I don't know what happened here.
Did it have 10 rings in it? Maybe. I think the Baroness might have been there.
Arguable.
I don't know why you waste the one from Money Heist as a Baroness, but okay. Her first American film, and he's here for like 2 seconds.
Okay. Samara Weaving should have gotten the Origins film, because if she would have been in it longer and that her appearance actually made sense other than that one piece of dialogue where she's like, oh, by the way, your dad was a Joe, LOL. Like, that's the only reason.
Uh-huh, your dad was a joke. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Samara Weaving. Thank you for your time.
I got paid $10 million.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bob, did you see this? You're muted, sir.
There. Okay. I saw it. What?
Continue.
Repeat what you just said.
I can't wait to edit this out.
Okay. Anyway, there were parts of the movie I did enjoy, but other parts, like, I didn't. The same parts that all of you had said about, like, not Henry Golding not shutting up because, as you said, Snake Eyes is supposed to be silent, not getting the costume until the end of the movie. I did enjoy, like, the parts on the island where he has to go with the snakes and not getting eaten in the water. Like, all he had to do was ask. It just fell apart on me. I watched it, but there was parts didn't enjoy. So
you mentioned an island there for a second, and I was like, when on earth was he on an island? But I get what you mean with the snake pit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't they have to go to? Never mind. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to poke a hole through it.
Okay. He does it all the time. Or wherever he is. He might be over here somewhere, but he's on this side of the screen to me.
Oh, yeah, he's on this side for me, too.
Okay.
I think we're ready to move on to some horror with, are we ready to cut out the cancer with Malignant?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Didn't see it.
Malignant.
I'm gonna be quiet.
Okay, sounds good. Malignant, directed by James Wan, starring by James Wan, and screenplay by Akella Cooper, starring Annabelle Wallace, Maddie Hassan, George Young, Nicole and Brianna White, Jean Louisa Kelly, and McKenna Grace.
I think this has a Doug movie written all over it.
I think you're right about that, actually. This movie tells you exactly what it is from the opening. When you have the doctor screaming, we're going to cut the cancer out, and then you see, I guess, the cancer's face. This is just James Wan's just over the top. It's just a crazy film. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Guilo. Whatever the French term for slasher films. This was just, it was crazy. It was a crazy film, but it's not without its artistic merits either. There is the one long shot where she's running through the house and you're looking down on it and it looks like a toy house and you're going from room to room in all one continuous shot. I thought that was pretty amazing. And then just in the last 10, 15 minutes, it just goes over the top violent. There's the scene in the jail cell with Zoe Bell, and then the entire police station. I just had a blast with this. I'm not saying it's good. It's not a good movie, but it's fun. If you're in the mood for some really twisted violence in a horror film, doesn't necessarily make sense at all, but it's fun.
I'd say it's a good movie. To me, it was. I don't know. It's wacky. It's kind of, like you say, can we spoil? Okay. All right.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Because I like the twist, and I kind of noticed like that she was running mirrored kind of thing. She's running backwards, and I was like, is this kind of like a Voldemort from the first film kind of thing? And I thought that was great. I always like seeing McKenna Grace as a younger version of people, because I feel like she does such, like, she's on that Haunting of Hill House, and then she's the young version of Margot Robbie and I, Tonya. She just seems to be the go-to.
I didn't even recognize her in this movie, to be honest.
I didn't recognize her at first, and then I think I saw her in the letterbox. I was like, that is McKenna Grace. Yeah, but I loved how this, it kind of seems like it's going to be paranormal, going to be supernatural, and then it kind of just takes on the structure of the original Candyman with, like, her being framed for the murders, and I just thought that was pretty interesting as in terms of structure and just... Yeah, and as soon as it hits that prison scene, it's all hell breaks loose, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
Hold on. Okay, who else are they going to frame for the murders? We had no other option but to frame her for the murders.
Yeah, no, I had watched this one and then Candyman 1992 a couple, like a night later, and I was just like, oh, okay, that's kind of a similar structure.
Okay, this is my kind of horror movie, guys. I love this stuff. Okay. I love the twist. The twist was fantastic. Because I was thinking the whole time, like, I don't get this. Because I thought at one point it was her. I thought everything, she was having a psychotic paranoia and is going to switch into, like, she was just going to become that character, like an actress's kind of idea. But it didn't go that way. And I love the twist. I love the whole concept. Because I thought it was really well done when Juan has the phone working and has Gabriel using the phone. And I did, that's what kind of threw me off. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of good. And it just gets better. Now, I do have one question. When her sister goes to the asylum, I think it is, or the hospital, she goes alone with a flashlight. I'm kind of like, she's dead. I'm not for sure she was getting knocked off. And she lives. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? There's no way. She's in a horror film, in an asylum, by herself, looking for stuff. She's dead with a flashlight. And magically comes back with the file and saves the day? Mm-hmm. With all the tapes?
But there's no one there. There's no horror villains there. That's why.
Really? It's an asylum. There's always, like, come on. Every horror movie has something in the
asylum.
There's
going to be, like, American Horror Story serial killer just waiting there for 20 years.
Wouldn't you think so? You can't tell me we're watching this not thinking something's going to happen to her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, but it makes sense that it didn't.
But I think Juan does a great job when he films this, and the way he films that character slashing that cop station up was just right at it, Terminator. Like, just exiting everybody. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I thought he shot Gabriel lower than he shot the other to make Gabriel bigger as a character. Even though she's walking backwards, so maybe there is she... Obviously, they rehearsed it the way she's going to walk and maybe the movements. So, but I mean, I think this film was great. I want a number two. I'm sure there will be. Because I think this has continuous slasher abilities all over, which I love. Slasher films.
The, the way it moves is so well choreographed. And like, I feel like he almost borrowed notes from his buddy Lee Winnell for how he shot The Invisible Man, the mental health hospital scene in that film. I was like, ah, I feel like you guys kind of synced up on this. And I thought that was pretty cool because I love how that shot in The Invisible Man.
Okay. Back to The Invisible Man.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I will be honest. It did kind of trick me, the movie, a little bit, but it did not trick my son. We were watching it, and he goes, I bet he has that woman, or the killer, Gabriel, has the woman in the attic in their house.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, that can't be their house. Who has an attic fan that huge in their attic in a normal residential house? And that's what fooled me, I guess. Okay. I guess these people have a fan that huge in their attic.
Rich people, man.
I think it's possible. I mean, okay. I'll let you guys. My grandmother used to have a house in the country, and it used to be an old mansion years and years ago, and they've divided it up into apartments. Now, the last apartment, you went up these gigantic stairs into a main living room area, you know, dining room, couple bedrooms off there, and her office. Then you had to go up another two sets of stairs. You go up and then up. And there were two more bedrooms, and then you had a gigantic attic. So okay. This made perfect sense to me, just because of that memory of that. So people could have a giant attic with a fan, because my grandmother had it was a full-on loft. Like, she could have made a room out of it and rented it out. It was so big, but it wasn't really heated that well, because it really didn't have insulation in it or anything.
Oh.
I think this film is just wonderful. Now, going back to your comic of The Invisible Man, that Invisible Man scene was one of the best shot scenes of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know what you're going for, but I would take The Invisible Man shot scene over this any day, even though I love
it. Oh, for sure. But I just felt like they copied each other's homework a little bit. Or
maybe
Bond copied his. Now, I just wanted to ask, have you guys ever seen My Soul to Take? Wes Craven?
No.
No.
Oh, it's not a very good film, but so. I got kind of these vibes. I think it's critically, like, panned, but I like it very much for some reason.
Is that the one with like Ernest Borgnine in it?
No, it's from 2010. It's with
the
guy from Overlord and Max Theriot.
Okay, then I was thinking of a different Wes Craven film.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. I might have found a new movie for my next list then.
Cool.
Now, did one of you guys order a hitman named Kate?
Oh, my God. Is this my hip? Oh, never mind. I know what we're doing. I'm in.
I thought you were going to shit on my transition. I mean, it's not very good, but that's fair.
No, I was thinking Hitman's Bodyguard. I'm like, is that on the list?
You're like, uh-oh. I did not prepare for this.
No, I saw it. I was good if we did it. I was well prepared for that.
Okay. So, Kate, directed by Cedric Nicholas Tryon, written by Umair Aleem, starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Woody Harrelson, Miku Patricia Martineau, Tadanobu Asano, Jun Kunimura, Michael Huseman, and Miyavi. And this is the Netflix film for today.
Okay, I guess I'm starting. I watched this last night. And, you know, I've seen this movie before. You know, the hitman's poisoned, has to find out who's killed them and get their revenge by the end of the film. And in this case, it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead who's poisoned. She's a hired killer working in Japan for Woody Harrelson, who's effectively like her handler, but in a way like her father. Mm-hmm. And brother and everything else. Mentor. I really like this movie. I was really taken by surprise at how much I enjoyed
it. You'll find out why the yay later.
All right. Okay. I thought it was very stylish. I thought Winstead was great. The action was fantastic. I didn't quite understand all the motivations. So clearly she was hired to kill the one mob boss's son. And brother. I think it was brother. In front of his daughter. And, but the reality is probably the Renji guy hired them to do it.
Yeah, something.
And it was part of a plot to replace the Oyabun with Renji, his right-hand man, his essentially his consigliere.
Yeah.
So, there's a sequence where, so she goes after the girl when she thinks that it looks like that they were killed. She was murdered. She's forced to drink radium or something like that, something irradiated.
Plutonium-204?
Yeah, sorry. So, I thought it was R-204 or something like that, but anyway. It's poisoning her from the inside. And there was that one actor who was brought in to do it. So she meets the guy at the bar. He poisons her. She sleeps with him. And then she gives him money and tells him to get out.
Yeah, that's Michael Huseman from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was in another movie, too.
Age of Adeline? For
sure. No, he was in the TV show with Katie Cuoco.
Flight Attendant.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's like, he's murdered in the first episode, but he's in her conscience. And so she keeps seeing him everywhere. He was really not used very well in this movie. He was almost like a guest appearance. But overall, I thought it was very stylish. I thought it makes very much use of the culture of Japan. And a lot of the shots with the technology and the cars and the music and the clothing and the clubs and everything like that, the youth culture. Mm-hmm. So, while it was formulaic and ultimately you knew where it was going, and of course the betrayal by Woody and all that stuff, could have been choreographed. And it couldn't have been choreographed better or worse in this case, but, but overall, I dug it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll just carry off from you, just in the way that I like films like Crank, which is it's obviously Crank, but with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And then it, with the whole kid thing, very similar to Gunpowder Milkshake the other month. And it's lucky for this film, I like both of those movies. And I like the style, and I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And I like Hitman, and I thought the choreography and action was pretty good. So, and yeah, I agree with most of your points. Just it cool how it incorporated the Japanese culture. The kid was kind of annoying at times, but I kind of I felt it, not as much as Gunpowder Milkshake, but I thought it made sense for the story. She's there to advance the plot and kind of be a bugger at times. So I thought it worked. I thought it worked fine. It's nothing I'd probably want to see in theaters, but it's a good one, I think.
Can I go after you?
Sure.
I got to go with you and Kevin on this because I really enjoyed it. Like, I know it's been done before, and I know Simon's going to disagree with this. I can't wait. But I really enjoyed it for the same reasons, and I thought Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the character did a better job than I could be wrong. Jessica Chastain as Ava. I thought she did a better job.
That was a horrible movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought she did a better job than Ava was. It reminded me of that, but this was, I thought, better. And I know Simon's going to disagree with this point, too, that I thought there was a progression of Mary Elizabeth Winstead's acting from when she started. Yeah, I know you're going to disagree. Scott Pilgrim versus the World to whatever the movie was called. It was at TIFF. She got drunk with her husband.
Smashed.
That's it. And then on to the Harley Quinn movie as the
Huntress.
Thank you.
Yeah, this could have been the same character.
Like I just saw a progression of her acting. Like,
okay.
You're wrong.
Yes, I didn't see a lot of difference between this character and the Huntress character, to be honest. Very similar.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug, I just
thought I liked it.
I have
him.
Not yet.
Go ahead, Doug. I'll wait.
I'm just going to pretty much say what everybody else said. I had a good time with this film. It's the same stunt team that does the John Wick films. So you know the action's going to be good. I will say probably my favorite action scene was the knife fight in the kitchen. Yeah, it just got brutal. Mm-hmm. And I love it when stuff like that happens, like The Raid 2 when they have the knife fight at the end. I just, for some reason, I love brutal kung fu knife fights. this was awesome.
Give me more brutal Kung Fu knife fights.
Yes. Less snake eyes, though.
We are all crazy. Oh, yeah. It's true.
Okay. Guys, first off, let's start with the intern's point. She has not gotten better. She's been the same in every movie I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
She's fine.
She's been good.
To quote the intern, she's fine. That's it. Fine.
Number two, I
watch enough films. You guys are all on crack. The woman looks like she can't even lift a 40-pound barbell, let alone take on 100 guys.
Adrenaline, though. Come on.
I can't buy this
adrenaline
film.
Adrenaline level of suspension of disbelief. It's a movie.
Listen, intern, I let you talk without interruption. Maybe you could do the same for me. Thank you.
Wait, one point. Yeah. You let me talk without interruption. I saw the face. You go,
I was not interrupting.
He has a fair point, though, because you do have those facial expressions.
Listen, Prin, you want to keep it up? We'll get to your points next.
Okay, sounds good, buddy.
I'm just bored of these films. I've seen them all from the Avijit Singh. Then we had the Michael Keaton one with the skinny lady, Chinese lady. I can't remember her name. That was absolutely terrible.
3 Days
too.
To Kill?
No, Protégé. It came out recently this summer. Protégé. Absolutely awful. I've never seen a stunt woman do so much work in my life. If anything looks good, I know it's not her. I'm just bored of these films. And Woody Harrelson needs to bring something different. Is he doing his Hunger Games? He looks like the guy from the Hunger Games. There's no difference between that character and this character. Oh, look, I did the Hunger Games. I can do this. This guy gets more paychecks than I do. This movie is dull. The action is very good. But again, I don't care. The story was dull. Oh, let's introduce another little kid. Oh my God, I could puke at that point. I've had enough. Prin's only watching this because he has a crush on Mary Liz and said, so does Kevin. Enough of this crap, guys. Watch some good movies. I'm out.
You put it on, to be fair. And she's
nope, that was Doug. Doug. Maybe put it on.
Okay. I didn't make you. I just said I watched it.
And I listened. That was a dumb decision.
You were going to watch it anyway.
I'd already watched it the week it came out.
Yeah, and you were going to behave. You don't like Mary Liz. I feel like you don't like her anyway.
I can't stand her with a passion. I hated Smash.
No. Oh, she's fine. Meanwhile, I can't stand her with a passion.
She's fine. I kind of have a big issue with her, but I'm not rushing out to see a Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
It clouds the artistry.
Listen, she left her husband for Ewan McGregor, and he left his wife. All I got to say, cheater. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Before we go on to the next one, I just had a question from earlier. Kevin, Simon, you guys said you saw Shang-Chi in 3D.
I did.
I can't tell you the last film I saw in 3D. It might have been Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I do not like seeing movies in 3D much anymore.
Here's the thing. I bought the tickets. I show up at the theater. The woman hands me 3D glasses. I'm like, what are these for? My daughter looks at me and goes, 3D? And I'm like, I bought tickets to a 3D movie? I had no idea. I had no idea it was in 3D. I would not have bought the tickets.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I saw Venom in 3D.
I saw Venom in 2D. And I learned my lesson.
In general, do you guys still like seeing movies in 3D?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind if it's warranted. I don't think that Venom warranted 3D.
Venom didn't warrant being made.
Oh.
Well, we'll save that for that episode.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple of episodes, I'm sure.
But Shang-Chi, there was some good uses of
The boss scene looked great in 3D.
When they almost run over the cliff.
Yes, look good.
Right? And then the scaffolding.
Scaffolding looked good too. The end battle, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Looked like Paw Patrol happening.
All right, what's next?
Sure. Okay, this is, if you guys don't like this transition, I could just show myself out. So have you guys ever found...
Not a promise?
Probably. But I think you're going to like it, so we're all good. So have you guys ever found yourself in front of a mirror saying Extra Features Podcast 5 times and Simon pops up behind you?
I'd rather say Yahya Abdul-Mateen II 5 times.
Okay, see? Everybody likes it. Sandyman, directed by Nia DaCosta, written by Jordan Peele, Wynn Rosenfeld, Nia DaCosta, starring Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Tiona Paris, Nathan Stewart Jarrett, Coleman Domingo, Kyle Kaminsky, and Vanessa Williams. I've killed Simon. We're posting the video because he's just crying.
Oh no. Okay. Got it good.
Yes.
Okay, Candyman. You know what? I really like this film. I like the look. This is something I really am discovering as I get older. I look for set design. And you would have a team look good. Somebody I hadn't seen before. And I thought he added a lot. He seemed to let the viewer into his world as he went. Like he was exploring the Candyman world. We were exploring the Candyman world with him. And obviously, I had seen the first three Candymans, which the last two make no sense. But I liked this film. I really, really enjoyed it. I did have some issues sometimes was the beginning with the women in the school yelling Candyman. I really didn't think that tied in too well.
55 minutes in? I think,
is that
I think,
when they have the bathroom scene?
I think it was because the girl was at the art gallery and she saw the thing on the mirror. So that was
is that like, okay? Must have missed that, but that was fine. But I liked the kill in the art gallery. I thought it was great. I really thought that bounced for me. Like I didn't see it coming. It was a very good quick edit. I thought I liked the edits at the thing. I thought they got the Candyman better in this film than they did in the first one. And I think the woman relied on the edits to get her point across more on the acting. Cause the actor set it up, but when the Candyman show up, she could edit well. And the elevator scene worked for me a lot too. When he starts figuring out he is the Candyman. And I really like that. And I think it's a good introduction to people that really don't know who Candyman is. And I mean, obviously I wanted a higher body count, but that's just me personally liking high body counts in films. And that's it. And I mean, yes, if you do say my name five times, I will appear behind Doug's barbecue. So just be careful what you wish for.
I think that's why you like Malignant so much, because of the high body count.
I do, and I'm honest about that. When I watch a horror movie, I like high body counts. Yeah. I don't like slow-moving horror, but I do love Insidious, which does not have a high body count.
Fair.
But I want to be scared. Like, I want me to jump. And I'm not saying I jumped to Candyman, but I like the look of the film. Yaz, I can't even say his name, Abdul Rahim. Yeah, did a great job. He convinced me. I thought he consumed what I wanted. I wish it was more. I do find the end was a little rushed. And, I mean, the problem is they only have an hour and a half, and I really felt this needed a 2 hours to really flush this film out more. Even hour 45. And my biggest problem with the film is too short, which you never hear me say. I like a 1 hour and a half every time because I know we're done. But I think this film needed more time to introduce more of the world and literally give me a little bit more, maybe help the viewer across of what's going on and maybe setting up the second film a bit more, which we know is coming.
I can agree that it could use a bit more runtime. Like I agree, though. I like the look of it. I like the visuals a lot, especially when the one woman is getting, like, we're panning away from the building, the glass apartment, and we're seeing her get attacked. I thought that was great. I liked how it kind of brought in the social commentary, especially with the end with the kind of like whoever survives can decide how to tell a story or person of power can decide how to tell a story. So I thought that was pretty cool. I liked a lot of the visuals, even though for me, I like to see the kills on screen. And here it's kind of more like with the mirrors and such, but I thought she understood the character well and how Candyman was mostly seen. We really didn't see him. We saw him in mirrors. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I don't know if anybody else caught the very, very beginning with the credits. I thought I had I thought the copy was busted or something because it was inverted. I was like, wait, like what is going on? So I had to look up the crazy credits just to make sure that I had I had a movie that was going to work. So that kind of threw me off. But yeah, and then I can agree that I needed a bit more time, but I enjoyed the structure. I enjoyed the kills. It was kind of everything I wanted Velvet Buzzsaw to be because it kind of had similar themes with the
I agree. World.
And I think it just worked better than Buzzsaw did.
Buzzsaw wasn't bad. I just think they need to work a bit more, but we're not here to discuss Buzzsaw.
Yeah. More brutal kills there, in a way.
I like
at least the with kills. Yeah. But we're talking about Candyman. Sorry, Bob, you had your hand up, I think.
Yeah, that's okay. I was hoping I could go next because Simon said he enjoys horror movies that make you jump, right? That's the same with me. I like horror movies that make you jump, thriller movies that make you jump. This, I watched the whole thing, didn't make me jump at all. That's what I felt was missing for me. The set design itself was okay. Maybe if it had been longer, it would have been better for me. But just before Daniel catches me on this, I'll say it again. I have never seen the original Candyman movies, so you can bust me all you want on that one.
No, you're okay. But you didn't need to
because they gave you the background when they were introduced in the puppet show. They gave you the background.
Oh, I love there's something scenes. I forgot to discuss. Yeah. I love that puppet show. Sorry to take
that away from Dark Thunder. That was a good part.
Puppet show was amazing. Mm-hmm. I forgot. It was in my tweet. I did discuss how much I like the puppets.
Yeah,
but I like how they did the origin that way. I thought it was something different.
Yeah. That's what I liked about it because then I didn't have to see the original three. But it ruined it for me because I was expecting to be like, I was expecting to jump when something happened. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen for me because that sort of ruined the movie for me.
Movie? I was gonna.
It's not a jump scare movie. It's all suspense. Yeah. It's like,
I wasn't even suspense.
I disagree.
You can disagree all you want, but I expect something. And it's just, like, I was just waiting and I'm going, I was disappointed.
I was gonna make a bet with Simon that, you probably either didn't know this was a direct sequel or you hadn't seen it.
Oh, I knew that it was a sequel, but I.
Honestly, I didn't. I'm glad I had looked. I had watched the original right before the remake, and I'm glad I did because I had looked up. Oh, and I forgot that it was a sequel. I thought it was more like a remake. So
I had heard it was a sequel, but
it's a sequel to the first one. They skipped two and three.
But I didn't really need to see the sequel since they explained it all in the beginning with the puppet show.
Yeah, I love puppet shows.
Sorry,
Doug.
I was going to say, I love this movie. I love the way it expanded the mythology of the Candyman. This is the movie that introduced the fact that there were multiple Candymen throughout history and how each subsequent Candyman takes traits from the previous. And I love that concept. Mm-hmm. My one issue was I was a little bit confused as to Coleman Domingo's ultimate plan in the end.
He wanted Candyman back.
Yeah, that it was a little muddy to me. I think what you were saying, how if they had maybe 10, 15 more minutes, they could have expanded on his plan a little to make it a little more clear.
I think they're saving that for the sequel. I really think it's going to come back more in the sequel if they do one.
Because he was so scared by Candyman and he was the one that broke the pact to bring him back, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That he wanted to repurpose Candyman as a vengeful, a black person's vengeance against the system. And I wanted that a little spelled out a little more. But aside from that, I love the movie.
To work off Doug's point, I think he's upset about the revitalization of the projects. I think that's what he's annoyed about.
A little bit of both, I think. And also just how the theme of it is like storytelling and like passing stories from generations. It's kind of like how Bad Hair was with just passing down stories of black people and just the ancestors and that kind of thing and the history of it.
And like you guys were saying, the visuals in this movie were fantastic. My favorite was when Yaya was in the apartment of the critic and he's looking in the mirror and he sees the Candyman, but then the critic comes out of the bathroom and then he turns around, but you see the reflection of the Candyman in the mirror. That was incredible to me. I love that.
Yeah. Lots of playing around with mirrors here. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, they did a good job. I thought I liked this one better than I liked the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have to formulate my thoughts on the first one. I think this one had a cooler visual style. I'd say that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think Kevin saw this.
Nope.
Oh, no, he's just been eating his cheesies. Okay, so do y'all like bubblegum ice cream in video games? With Free Guy? I think I'm just going to give up on transitions because I'm not going to beat the Candyman one. Free Guy, correct?
No, you have to do the transitions.
Okay.
You don't have to like them. Free Guy!
Free Guy! Now, directed by Sean Levy, who I'm pretty sure did Cheaper by the Dozen. Written by Matt Lieberman, Zach Penn, starring Ryan Reynolds, Jodie Comer, Taika Waititi, Lil Ray Howery, Jokiri, Utkarsh M. Dupakar, who I think was in Pitch Perfect, and then Channing Tatum, who I feel makes the film PG-13 on his own.
I will start.
Okay.
I thought this was boring for the first three quarters of this film. I tried hard to get into it. I couldn't get into it. Little Rail, I loved. I thought he added a lot. I'm not a Ryan Reynolds fan. I always find he plays that same character in every single film. And like, okay, Ryan, I got it. Can you do something else for a change? And I was getting really annoyed half the time with the Jodie Comer character pretending she was ugly. I'm like, really, Jodie Comer? Who's going to believe you're ugly? I just couldn't get that. I did like the parts when he had to learn to do things. I like when he would try to change things in the Groundhog Day, like order a different coffee and do different things. And that I thought it was amusing. Now, the part I really liked was the last 20 minutes of the film when he has to get from point A to point B. I thought it was fantastic. That really escalated this movie for me the last week. It was something different. I found the movie doesn't get dragged down. And what was Taika Waititi doing? Like, did they just told him to hit a button, go? Like, inside that office made no sense to me in the final third. Like, the one guy owned the game and Taika ripped him. I'm still confused by that. You know, and he's trying to program. Like, do you guys do any reading on how programming works? Because that's not it. And that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I like the last 15 minutes are very watchable, but I can see why people love this film. It is fun. It's Sean Levy, Night Museum. But, again, he's a little too family entertainment for me usually, and I find it just continues with this. Reminds me a lot of Night Museum 1, Light of Night Museum 2. It's not bad. I just don't find them good.
And then the Lego Movie, Truman Show for this movie. It's pretty much like everything mixed into one, but I love this movie. I think it's very fun. It's probably one of the big, like, I felt like a big back to the movies kind of film for me. Just, I like Ryan Reynolds. I love the concepts within Ready Player One and Gamer, just about this video game world. So I thought that really worked for me, but I was like, okay, what if we take this aspect, but we kind of do it well? And then I thought the whole aspect of just intellectual property and just the Comer and Jokiri's game kind of being the footprint within the game, I thought that was a neat idea. I thought just the whole idea of NPCs was a cool idea. And it's like almost like you kind of have compassion for non-playing characters, even though I'm probably still going to run over a bunch of people in Grand Theft Auto 5 the next time I play it. Let's be honest. I like seeing all the video game, like the Twitch streamer cameos, even though seeing Ninja kind of made me cringe. I like this movie. I liked when Dude showed up. I kind of clapped when they brought in the lightsaber moment and the Avengers moment. I thought that was kind of funny. I had a lot of fun with it, and I hadn't seen Jodie Comer before because I don't watch Killing Eve, and that's probably put up to the higher on my list for Killing Eve after seeing Jodie Comer here. And yeah, and I also really liked Channing Tatum, his little cameos in this. I thought they were a lot of fun.
I forgot about that cameo. That cameo was phenomenal at the end of this film.
Yeah, playing the nerd.
Broke me up. The other cameo, the one I'm not going to reveal.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's the one. That I was dying.
Which one's
that one? The shield cameo, yes.
Oh, okay. I think I missed that one. From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, no.
Oh, I'm dumb. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get you. Okay. Disney. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Welcome to Disney, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I thought this was okay. I mean,
yay, Kevin!
It was definitely family fare. It was definitely a Lego movie. It was definitely Night of the Museum. Definitely that kind of goofy background stuff. So essentially what happened was Joe Keighley and the girl character created a really boring sounding website with unicorns and butterflies and stuff like that. And basically Taika Waititi built it and then incorporated the code of their website into his free world, open concept game.
That bubblegum ice cream?
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin, but I mean, that's the thing. If they're so smart, I think they could have made a better game. Or done something with their game.
Well, yeah, because right. It's just because he took the code and like that was the code that makes AI actually become a person. Because that was and their
there's one idea. Point where Taika goes to him and says, Keighley, and says, dude, why don't you become part of my programming team? And he's like, no, I'm happy here. He says, that's good because I don't have to pay you now more money. You want to stay here in this low-level job? Then go ahead. Like, to me, I'm like, well, this guy, does he have no ambition whatsoever? You know, yes, their game failed. Why not move up and try to make something of your life? Anyway, it was amusing. It was okay. It was.
There's going to be a two. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I think my favorite, one of my favorite jokes was when the dude comes out, and since he's not a fully written code, it's just like insert punchline here. Yes. I thought that was pretty funny.
Catchphrase.
Yeah.
But now, don't you guys feel Ryan Reynolds really needs to try acting as somebody different? Like, it seems his stick is just the same thing every movie.
I feel like that was kind of with, like, I think like that was why Ryan Gosling took a break, because he was like, I feel like I'm everywhere. And it's almost like, should Ryan Reynolds, I still love Ryan Reynolds, but should he do the same?
But he's doing the same movies over and over and over again. I wish Doug would jump in here and give us an opinion on that, since he's on mute and won't talk.
I haven't seen this film.
No, I'm saying in general, how do you feel about Ryan Reynolds playing the same character over and over and over again?
It's what Robert Downey Jr. does, and he's doing fine.
Really? Did you see The Judge or The Singing Detective?
No, The Singing Detective was like, what, 20 years ago?
I saw it. It was a piece of junk. But, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. always gets it. I can only make money playing Iron Man. And I'm going to continue to play Iron Man.
Even when he's called Sherlock Holmes.
And okay, he did Sherlock do Tropic Holmes Thunder, too. Where he was a dude, playing another dude. That's a lot of layers.
Yeah, that's a lot of layers of dudeism. And you know what? Tom Cruise was excellent in that film.
Oh, I love Tom Cruise in that movie.
Now we're off topic again.
Oh, we'll,
yeah, we'll continue on, because I don't think the internet has anything to say about this.
Yes, I do. I saw it.
Oh, okay. Well, you're on mute, so then we presume.
Well,
you're
I was waiting until you talk, until you were finished. Okay. I always get screamed at when I don't shut up. Okay, I saw this, and for some reason, after I saw it the first time, I saw it twice. I didn't like it the first time, and I looked at everybody saying, oh, yeah, this is a great movie. And I'm going, what did I miss? So I went to see it a second time. I enjoyed it better the second time. But there was still something missing for me, because I think it is based on a video game. Am I correct?
No? I think it's an original video game.
Well, not based on a video game, but it's video game related.
Go for it.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's the part I did. That's the part I didn't. But I eventually got me, like, as I was watching it further, I got the second. So, second time, thank you. Just make fun. Go ahead. I lost my train of thought. But I liked it better the second time. Anyway, the characters just grew on me.
Okay.
Oh, good. So you like the Ryan Reynolds character grew on you, or the Jodie Comer character grew on you?
The rest of them, not the Ryan Reynolds. As you said, he plays the same character over and over and over again.
The Little Real grew on you. I think Little Real's great in this film.
I like
he's great in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Little Real's actually becoming an excellent actor. Even though he plays the same guy every time, he makes me laugh. That's good.
He's good at it.
He's becoming the new Kevin Hart, the funny
did,
Kevin Hart.
Did he make you laugh in Space Jam 2?
Nobody can make me laugh in Space Jam 2.
Only Elmer Fudd as Mini-Me can make me laugh in Space Jam 2.
That was good.
Yes, it was.
Uncle not Sam the movie, but, playing Sam was not good.
Fair. Now, before we move on, I just wanted to know, did you guys, like my one problem was this film, was I thought Take It With Judy was trying too hard. Did anyone else get that sense?
I think he's just trying out something different. I really do.
He was the only thing that kind of annoyed me about the movie, even though I love Taika.
But I think we need a villain. I think he's going to play that evil, over-the-top villain to make this work.
Fair.
Because Jodie Comer's not bringing much here. She's just sitting there going, oh, look at me. What can I help him with? I'm like, really? It's another waste of Jodie Comer. I think she's a better actress in this film, gives her credit for, or allows her to be.
This is the only thing I've seen her in, but she's in pretty good.
Well, I would argue she's excellent in Killing Eve. I'm watching a new film of hers called The Help right now, and it's something different. I think we're going to see a lot of Jodie Comer coming up, I hope, but maybe not. Maybe she'll just go away like the Dodo, but I highly doubt it.
Also, she's going to be in that Ridley Scott film, The Last Duel.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I couldn't remember the name of it. It just had a premiere 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, you said The Help. See. I was like, wait, is it from 2011?
No. No, there's a 2021 film called The Help that's involved with SARS. Not SARS, sorry, COVID. The onset of COVID is like little shorts, but it's all one big short.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? They're all
anthology?
Snippets. And, yeah, an anthology. Kind of, but they all go together.
Okay. Like vignette. So
it's like chapters.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So I feel like we'll go to... I hate them for my transition over here, but to transition to reminiscence, would you guys like to sing Memory from Cats with me?
Yes, let's do it.
Memories. All alone in the moonlight. That's all I wrote down.
Okay. Bob, you love cats. No help here.
No help at all. I'm letting you two go down on your own.
Thank you. We're burning. It's not going down.
We've just burnt with Doug's barbecue here. Reminiscence, written and directed by Lisa Joy, starring Hugh Jackman, Dandy Newton, Rebecca Ferguson, Cliff Curtis, Marina Tavira, and Daniel Wu.
I would like reminiscence of the time Doug invited me to the movies. Oh, wait, that's never happened, so I really don't have to have
sorry.
I think this had a great premise. I really think I like the, again, a new world I've never seen. A world that's built on water. It's not water world. I like the idea. It has flashbacks. But, oh, my God, this thing is friggin' boring. Just goes on and on and on. I'm like, does anything going to happen? Nope. Let's talk a bit longer. Is anything? Nope. Oh, we're going to have another reminiscence. Let's do another flashback. And another flashback. Oh, wait. And another flashback. Oh, my God. I found this beyond painful. I tried to get into this. Hugh Jackman, again, I don't know. I like him as an actor, but I find sometimes he picks the most boring scripts to do. And just because he can talk for 14 hours... It reminded me a lot of that film he did when he plays the politician that gets busted for having a girlfriend.
The Front Runner?
The Front Runner. It reminded me so much. He just goes on and on. And I love Rebecca Ferguson. And she does nothing either. And then at the end of the film, another kid shows up. I'm like, I just don't care. I mean, Thandi Newton, I thought, was the best cat worker in this film. Like, she actually has something to do. Does the heavy lifting, but it's just so boring. 2 hours of this crap. We need to take this half an hour and give it to Candyman because maybe I'll understand it a little better. Too long, too boring and just a waste of Hugh Jackman's time and your time if you watch it.
Oh,
which okay. I did not.
I've seen it. I agree with you. It was too long. It could have been shorter. It reminded me of Flatliners in a way. I know not the same movie, but it just reminded me of that. And like I like Hugh Jackman's narration on it, but the rest of the movie itself, it could have been shorter. So I didn't really. There's parts of it I just didn't get. The fact that he's a veteran and whatever, and I'm going, I don't care.
See, you get that when Thandie Newton tells you about that. When he goes to visit Thandie Newton at her new job.
Okay, I missed it.
That's how they met.
Okay.
Bob, you're not missing anything. It made literally no sense to me at all.
Okay.
So I'm not the they only just one keep the talking
only like it.
And talking and talking for no reason. And you want, like, shouldn't there be more action in this film at some point?
No. Yeah. Like, I did like the concept of it, like you said. I think you did say that. Like, they put the memories on disc, I guess, and whatever. You can watch them as many times as you want. What are you doing?
So it's basically Strange Days?
I never saw it.
Okay.
Actually, I have a question. Yeah. Is this movie a mystery? Because yes. I'll be honest, I didn't yes. watch it. The trailers didn't intrigue me enough. Is there like a central yes, mystery to it or something?
Mystery. Yes, okay. There is a mystery. And the whole thing starts as he goes into memories. Rebecca Ferguson's memories, he keeps going into there and going deeper and deeper and deeper at different yes. times. Because she comes, the first time she comes about her keys. And then she goes deeper, and then he learns more, and then something else happens, and somebody else goes into the memory machine, and he learns more, he goes to do something, and it just keeps continuing that way. To the point you're like, I'm done! Who cares? This is boring! Do something! Nothing happens. To the point I just want somebody, that chick from Kate, to come and just kill them all, and I would have been happier.
And to be honest,
that would make Kate a better movie if they had a crossover with Reverend Science and did a crossover with Kate. And she would have killed everybody but Thandie Newton because I liked her character. I might like this movie.
I feel like he would have groaned as soon as he saw Mary Elizabeth Winstead, though.
I would have, but they could have Thandie Newton go nuts. Maybe her reminiscence about her going nuts and killing everybody.
Okay.
Maybe like a fever dream.
Okay. Next one?
No, we don't have a movie called Next One.
Good one. Are you guys paying a visit to the Night House?
Never. Never going to happen.
Directed by David Bruckner. Written by Ben Collins and Luke Piotrowski. Starring Rebecca Hall, Sarah Goldberg, Fondi Curtis Hall, Evan Chongi-Kiet, and Stacey Martin. But before you guys get into it, did you guys hear that they're renting out the Scream House as an Airbnb? Throughout October?
Where? It's the Scream House.
I think in Oregon. Or no, probably think California.
So you have no idea. You brought up this random point and can't answer my one question.
No, yeah, I think it's in California.
I'm going to go Google it while we're talking. Doug is up first.
I did not see this one. It was out of the theaters by the time it was put on the list here.
Same.
In turn, you saw it first, you go first.
I did see it first, and we sort of had a small discussion on it, which probably isn't allowed anyway. But I liked it, and it sort of gives you like it the fact that her husband died, and like she had died. I'm not giving anything away because it's been a while. She had died before, and she was brought back to life. But in the meantime, when she died, this entity was trying to keep her dead, and. And it was trying its hardest to bring her back. But they were finding out that her husband was killing people and putting the bodies inside the other house that he had built, which was an exact duplication opposite on the other side of the lake or something. But, I liked it. It sort of made you sit there and think, but, there was other points I was trying to make with it, but, I can't remember. Anyway, Simon, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I was looking up your Scream House stuff. So I have it here for you, Doug. It's in Northern California.
Okay.
Visitors will be greeted virtually by Sheriff Dewey Riley, played by original cast member David Arquette. They can queue up a marathon of four Scream films on VHS to stay true to the time period, or even call Ghostface to ask questions or make requests. But Ghostface does have a tendency to call through, so guests can expect him to call, ring them right through the night. So it opens October 12th at 1 o'clock. And I think we should try to get in. They say it's only going to be
scary movies.
I wish they would do it every year. They should do that year round. I would totally do that.
I'm coming because I heard Doug's Barbecue's actually possessed between the October 20th to the 31st.
Oh.
And when you show up, it grills you a steak.
Oh,
so
really?
I want to make sure I'm there.
So it's a good kind of
steak grill because I don't want to miss that. Doug's family doesn't get a steak. He knows that. But if I show up, I get a steak. The Barbecue has been sending me messages for months, so I'm going to try to make it.
That's a movie.
This film, I have so many issues with it. I love Rebecca Hall. I'm probably one of the few people that just adore Rebecca Hall's acting. I think she's excellent. I don't understand what she's doing in these films half the time, but I still think she's a good actress. My problem with this film is I like the look. I think it has a very nice look. It looks like a low-budget horror film. I like that about it. My problem is I have so many unanswered questions. Like, why is there 8,000 bodies buried and she finds them and never goes back to it? Never addresses it? Never goes back to it? And the end of this film is one of the most confusing things I've ever seen. Makes no sense. I literally had to look up on the internet and have people guessing what the ending of this film was. I thought it was just me that didn't understand it. Nope, there's a ton of us. I find the woman that looked like Rebecca Hall great. And then she goes into, I'm like, don't you have more questions for her? And she doesn't. I really felt that the other house is being built that didn't get fit. I'm like, this film makes no sense. Like, literally walk me through it. Hold my hand and explain to me what is going on at some point.
There was a lot of other women that resembled her, too. Like, just not that one woman. There was tons.
Yeah, but he killed all those and threw them in the box because he thought that would stop the spirits or something.
And it didn't. The spirits just kept coming.
And she's reading these books, and I'm like, again, tell us why you're reading the books. Don't make me guess why you're reading things. I'm dumb sometimes, especially when I'm bored out of my skull for an hour. Explain to me why you're doing basic things. I can get it. I understood why she went to the bookstore, because she found the picture of the girl on her husband's phone. Now, here's my next question. The guy's going to commit suicide, right? Why would he delete all this crap off his phone? Like, this guy's got reams of encyclopedia for this film, for this wife to find. I'm like, buddy, you know you're going to die. You know she's going to find your phone. You might want to do some work on that. Maybe, I don't know, delete everything, reboot your phone, erase your history. Really? Oh, he's just going to commit suicide? Like, again, made no sense. Because he thought he killed everybody so he can commit suicide and save her? Maybe.
Actually,
Bonnie
Curtis Hall sort of explained a little bit of it, but not much, because he was there. He was there to explain stuff to her, but I don't think he even got it.
I don't think anybody got it, including the writer, because they didn't explain enough. This film was in and out of theaters faster than Bob can eat four hot dogs.
In the meantime, do you feel macho punk? Well, do you? That eye roll is deserved, I think. Cry Macho, directed by Clint Eastwood, written by Nick Schenck and Richard Nash, starring Clint Eastwood, Dwight Yoakam, and Ivan Hernandez. And I don't really know if there's anyone else in the film. What's up, Bob?
I did not see this.
Me neither.
Doug, did you go first then?
I'll be honest. The past few, I say past bunch of Clint Eastwood movies just haven't been for me. I think the last movie he made that I liked was maybe Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Ooh.
But, and I'm not even sure I liked that one.
Okay, good. Because there's so many issues I have with that.
Is that from the 90s?
Yeah. It's been a while.
How about Gran Torino?
I did not care for Gran Torino.
I enjoyed Richard Jewell a lot.
So did I.
Maybe Million Dollar Baby. I didn't love hate that one.
Baby. Okay, 04. Okay.
But that might have been the last one. Yeah, Cry Macho, I couldn't get into it. He's just so old at this point. I know it's cliche to say, but he's not fun to watch anymore. Earlier this week, I watched Heartbreak Ridge. I hadn't watched that one since I was 10 years old. But I had fun with that. He was young. He was vital. He had, you know, a point of view for that movie. This one just felt like an old man rambling. I don't know. I did not like it. I long for the days of good Clint Eastwood movies, but this one was not it.
Wow, Doug, I think you summed up everything I had to say. This film is just friggin' boring. I'm like, he gets there, and I'm like, okay, we're here. He got to Mexico. Is something going to happen? Nope. We're just going to talk. Oh, okay.
It's the senior citizen version of Rambo 5.
It's exactly what it was. When he threw that punch at that guy, I'm like, oh, my God. You can't. And he hits him. I think he hit the guy in the parking lot with the punch.
Probably.
I'm like, that is the most pathetic punch I think I've ever seen anybody throw. Well, he's 81, people say on the internet. I'm like,
he's 91.
Care. Sorry, 91. He looked like he was going to fall over.
Was it like in slow motion? That punch.
It literally was like him going, it was like watching the $6 million man. I waited 15 seconds for him to throw that punch. And it looked beyond awkward as Robert De Niro in Young Face throwing a punch in whatever that Scorsese movie I watched was.
Irishman.
The highlight of this film, Doug is right, is the chicken. The chicken is the best part of the film. He does all the heavy lifting. It's the chicken.
What would you have thought if he had recast, say, Tommy Lee Jones for his role?
Yes.
Somebody still old, but more vital.
Absolutely. I could believe Tommy Lee Jones playing this character. No problems.
Okay.
The problem is Clint Eastwood looked like he was going to have a heart attack any second. Literally, every time he did a scene, I think he had to sit down for 20 minutes.
It's just no fun to watch.
It's not enjoyable. I feel like, great, he's directing a movie. I'm not saying don't direct a movie at 91. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe you shouldn't act in it. Don't star. Like, the dance scene was kind of nice because that was about his level of movement. I mean, that car scene was painful when they get carjacked. But the cops, I'm like, you want me to buy this crap?
At least there wasn't a menage a trois like there was in The Mule. So
I thought that was coming next with the girl. I was just like, but she wants us to – I don't care. Cry Macho to me was just a painful hour and 45. Just Daniel, nothing happens.
What did the chicken do to be the star of the film? Was he in the dance scene with Eastwood?
No, he was not. The chicken throws a better punch than Clint Eastwood. The chicken basically comes in like when they need, like he's the super.
And it's an actual animal, or is it a wrestler?
It's a CGI chicken, or is it a real chicken? Both.
I don't know. Maybe it's the baby from American Sniper.
I don't know. Well, he's like the super punch. So whenever they're losing a fight with a 91-year-old guy and a 16-year-old boy, the chicken comes in and attacks the attacker. He's like the super move, the super punch, and saves the day.
Wow, this sounds ridiculous.
Trust me, it's terrible.
I chicken.
So I'm saying, well, there's a reason why it's called Cry Macho. I'm not going to ruin that part, but you'll learn why you watch. The chicken's name is Macho, the rooster.
Interesting.
So I'll leave it at that. This movie's a piece of junk. Don't watch it. Skip it. Go watch Nighthouse and try to explain the end to me because I'm still confused.
Or watch good Clint Eastwood movies.
Watch that Clyde movie. What, Anywhere But Loose? Right turn, Clyde.
Any which way but loose, perhaps.
Yes, okay. That's a good movie. Daniel should see that.
What was that, Kevin?
That's pretty. The monkey in the movie goes, sticks and his tongue out all the time.
Orangutan stuff, yeah. Oh, it's good. Sometimes he makes
it's
noises
a terrible
eyes
film.
Oh, right.
But you're like 12 years old, it is funny stuff.
Yeah. That was Monkey Trouble for me with Thora Birch.
I've never seen Monkey Trouble, but you just said my magical words.
There are Thora Birch.
I love Thora Birch. I think there's somebody that should have been a bigger star than she is.
She's in a new Tornado movie that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably right to VOD.
Probably.
I feel bad for Thora Birch. I don't know what career path she did, but wrong choice.
But to be fair, so many things are VOD these days.
Anyway. Star of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that I think killed her. I think that was her last big star role.
Maybe Alaska, too.
She had a guest starring spot in The Walking Dead.
Oh, did she?
Did she really?
I think
either season 9 or 10.
Okay.
But she was
we're in
11
now, aren't we? I don't know. I don't remember seeing Thora Birch, but I'm trying to finish The Walking Dead. It's paining me now to finish it.
I think
I'm too behind now, and I might stay that way forever.
I think I'm behind. I think I left off on somewhere in between the Negan storyline.
Oh, the Negan storyline is excellent. And then the next storyline's okay. And this storyline, they just, well, the problem is, this: if we continue this movie, they've dropped anybody interesting. Michonne's gone. Rick's gone. They brought back I Can't Act English Lady who drops her accent all the time. Maggie is terrible. So, and Megan. So unless you have a scene with Megan or Ezekiel, you don't really care. Because nobody else is interesting. Daryl and his old lady, boring as crap. Like, I don't understand why everybody loves Daryl. He puts me to sleep. Oh, I'm Daryl. I got to go save my dog. Oh, I'm Daryl. I got a shotgun. I got a rabbit. I don't care. And I like Eugene. But again, I'm bored. The only storyline I like right now is those people with in the new city with Princess. I love the character Princess. But I'm like, just finish this off, guys. Put a nail in this.
You've caught my interest enough that I might think about coming back.
No, just fast forward certain scenes. Okay.
For me, it was always maybe one or two good episodes, the rest are filler.
Yes, I 100% agree with you.
Okay. Now we have two more. Oh, sorry, Simon.
Go ahead. I got nothing to say.
Okay, I thought you were going to. Okay, so I just figured we'll get to the last two films here.
Sure.
There are more movies. Wow.
Yeah. Two more. Yeah, it's a marathon one. Have you guys ever been caught between a decision of staying in your small town and helping your family or chasing their dreams of singing? Because that's the case with Coda.
Oh.
Did we remember that this was on, or is that, Coda. Is that just a bad transition?
I saw Coda. Relax. Okay. Everybody saw Coda, even Doug.
I did not see Coda. I apologize.
It's okay.
Bob, you saw Coda?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start with Coda.
I gotta do the list.
Oh.
Okay.
Some chick that can sing and three deaf people.
One of them's an Oscar winner.
Marlon Matlin, yeah. Coda, written and directed by Sean Heder, starring Amelia Jones, Marley Matlin, Troy Kotsar, Daniel Durant, Eugenio Derbez, and Amy Forsyth.
It's not like they're going to listen to our podcast.
Jesus Christ. That's out of... I feel like that's out of pocket.
It's true.
Ouch.
I'm not editing that out. I don't care.
I don't endorse this. I do not endorse this. But
it's me. Whoa. I insult everyone. I love Marley Matlin. I love this film. It's cute. It's cuddly. We'll put this in Kevin's favorite category called the grandma category. Grandma would like this film. This film's going to offend no one. It's a little light on it.
Yeah, she's a child of deaf adults.
This was an Apple TV movie.
Yeah.
Yes, they bought it for $25 million.
Yeah, from Sundance,
I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch that.
They might have overspent.
Is that more or less than what they paid for Cherry?
I think that was the record at the time.
This is based off a French film, so it's not even like an original idea. It's cute. It's cuddly. I liked it. I love the scene when the dad's talking to the boy about having sex. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very basic premise. I do find it weird that the family got to sneak into our audition. No, that wouldn't have happened. Sorry, I know Bob always tells me suspension of disbelief, but I couldn't suspend my disbelief. What I really like, though, I learned a lot. I mean, I guess I always knew there was sign language, and sign language had its own words and world, but I was shocked how deep this film is and gets into that. And I learned a bunch of signs I'd never seen in my life. So I was kind of like, oh, cool. I guess I'm really ignorant on sign language. I mean, I've seen basic sign language, but I've never seen sign language to this degree and people speaking so fast and signing. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm really interested. I was really fascinated by how fast they could sign words and make words. And even I turned off my subtitles to see if I could follow it without the subtitles. But overall, I liked it. It's a nice grandma film. Your grandma can watch it. She's going to laugh at the funny scenes. She's going to joke. She thinks it's a Canadian movie because it's kind of basic. And it feels like the Beachcombers. So
that's the way it goes. Like, I feel like it's almost rude calling this a grandma film because it's so wonderful.
It's a nice film.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, your grandma would like it, but I feel like it's so much more than that. I feel like that's pigeonholing it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I think
your whole family should watch it.
Okay.
Fine. Not just grandma. Bring Doug's barbecue into the house.
Bring Dexter.
Take you off it. Bring Dexter. Bring your cat. Bring cousin Larry. All watch the film. It's cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. This is probably going to be on my best list because I just think.
Oh, of course it is because it didn't offend you.
Okay, buddy. This is exactly my type of movie. I love that one film, Raise Your Voice with Hilary Duff, but this is actually like so.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, sure.
Hilary Duff, you just brought up as being in a good movie.
I mean, it's a similar film that they go to a singing academy. I think it's irrelevant.
I've seen Raise Your Voice. Hilary Duff isn't the star. Kat Dennings is the star of Raise Your Voice.
No, she's not. But, sorry.
Well, I mean, billing-wise, it's Hilary Duff. I forgot Kat Dennings.
I understand who the lead was, but Kat Dennings acts circles
around. Okay, moving on from Raise Your
Voice. Not a chance.
I mean, I don't mind, but just what else do you want to talk about for Raise Your Voice?
No, that's it. I just like fucking you.
No, I was just giving a reference point that I love that film from my childhood. This kind of gives me those kind of vibes, but I feel like it's such an important film with, like you're saying, how quickly they can sign. I love these small town stories where you're tethered to your family and you want to chase a dream, but I found much in the way that in A Quiet Place, I've always found it interesting that they survive because one of the people in the family is deaf, right? So, and this one, I find it just so interesting that they're so dependent on her. And then the one time that she's not there, it all falls apart. I thought that was cool. And I just felt the emotions in this film. Like when the dad, like, during audition scene when the dad's on the back of the truck just feeling her throat, just because just the beauty of not able to hearing her voice. And I just thought it was such a good performance. She learned sign language. She learned how to sing. I thought that was great. And then in the audition for Berkeley, when she started signing as she was singing, that did it for me.
You cheered up, of course.
Oh, I was sobbing.
Not the Kleenex.
Not teared up. I was sobbing. I'm with you, Dan, right all this time.
Oh my God, some Kleenex and a self-help group.
I am not ashamed to cry at movies. I cry a lot.
I'm not saying you should be. I'm just saying you should join Bob and join the self-help
group. I cry during It's a Wonderful Life, so give me a break.
Oh yeah. No, but yeah, no, I just, everything worked for me.
The hamster comes up to the uncle. It got me.
The hamster?
squirrel, whatever.
Oh, I haven't seen That's a Wonderful Life in a while. But anyway, what? I've seen it. I'm just not in a while. But yeah, no, everything in this film really worked for me from, and I liked learning that the last thing that she signs, it's usually, I love you, but when the index fingers are twisted, it's, I really love you. And I think that's such a cool sentiment. And I just think above all the emotions, it's a great story about a father and a daughter and just being dependent. And I just love the look of the fishing scene.
It's a story about family.
Yeah, but it's a very, very important between the father and the daughter and the mother and
the
daughter.
And the mom. The whole family is involved in the brother. In the film.
But just, I feel like when she's leaving, it's most, that moment feels like it's most important between the father and the daughter because the mother has accepted. But I feel like the dad is still coming to terms with it. That's just how I saw it.
Fair enough. I can agree with that.
And I just love this movie.
Yay.
Pop.
Okay. Daniel, I'm with you. Oh, 100% okay. I'm with you. And I had to look it up. Shut up. I had to look it up when I was watching. After I watched it, I looked up that the actress actually had to learn sign. She had to learn to sing, and she had to learn how to do the trawler. She had to learn how to operate the trawler. All three of these things she didn't know how to do. There was a point in the movie where she's in with the concert. With the class, and she's doing the concert, and then all of a sudden the sound goes out. I'm going, what happened to the sound? And I'm going, and it's being, and I realized it was being heard, not heard, you know what I mean, heard.
Yep, their
from
perspective.
The perspective of the parents, because they couldn't hear it, but they, I guess somehow they looked around and felt they looked at the audience. They were saying, the father or the mother or the brother looked at one audience and she was crying. And they were all smiling, and then they got it. Like, they got how much she's enjoying what she's doing.
And just scanning the faces, yeah.
I've lost the train of thought, but I'm with you on this because I really enjoyed this. And Simon can't say a thing because of all people, he liked, and I couldn't believe it, he's all that. And the Bring It On movies, I'm going, you can't say a word. If you like,
like what we like.
Huh?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying we all like what we like, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you would like this the same way, but, you know.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I just
exactly. Like, you're when comparing I saw it, I this to Bring It On?
What? No, I'm not Nothing comparing like it to Bring It On. No, I'm not comparing it to Bring It On. No.
No, what do you say?
I think he's just comparing it that you
I'm comparing your like for Bring It On to this movie, which you didn't like.
Like you I like did dance like movies. It. We
barely
singing movies.
Just you said grandma movie.
It is a grandma movie. You can show it to your grandma. I learned this from Kevin, my elder statesman.
I feel like it's better than any grandma movie. Like Admission, right? That's a grandma
Hold
movie.
On. That Golden Hotel movie, the Marigold Hotel, that's a grandma movie. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then Corchette.
100 Foot Journey is a grandma movie. Like,
you're comparing this
Chariots
movie
of to Fire.
The Marigold Hotel?
Yeah, it's just a grandma movie. It's not offensive.
On Golden Pond.
You're right. It's not offensive to anyone. Maybe calling it,
But I just
that they'll never hear us anyway might be a little offensive.
Yeah, but like
well, my ignorance needs a sign for them because I would sign if I could, and they can see how much I liked it.
Next movie,
you're like. I just have one more point on this one because like that extent, and you've already said it, but that extent of signing, like where they go really fast, and it's like that got me.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You guys have made me lose all. You've made me lose all RES. PECT for you.
Oh.
See, my transition was going to be like Simon and Kevin, where you guys are going to respect us new guys.
No, no, that was great, Kevin. Much better.
I like that.
Kevin, transitions. I vote for Kevin.
Okay. I've been fired. Respect. Directed by Liesl Tommy, starring Jennifer Hudson, Forest Whitaker, Marlon Wayans, Titus Burgess, Audrey McDonald, Mark Maron, Mary J. Blige, and Tate Donovan. I did not see this.
I did.
Me neither.
Kevin?
I didn't see it.
Doug?
Uh-oh.
It was okay. It wasn't great. I felt it kind
Hang on, what's an okay? Is that like a five?
For this movie, probably around, yeah, 4 or 5 out of 10.
4.5.
It didn't really, how can I say this? Comparing it to the miniseries, Legend, I think it was called, that, now I'm forgetting the actress's name. Crap. Come back to me. I have to look this up.
Okay. I will continue where Doug left off.
Yeah.
This movie was not okay. This movie was boring. It really was everything you could do wrong in a biopic 101. You got a great character. You have a lot to show me. And you really just focus on some minor things. Her relationship with her dad, I got it. We didn't have to go back to it, but nope, we got to go over it. Spent way too long when she was a kid. I just don't care. Get going when she becomes a star. Let's move. You know, I want to meet Aretha Franklin. Not Aretha Franklin 20 years ago. She didn't do anything. So I get it. We get there. And then it goes on, and she has a bad marriage. I'm like, again, I don't care. I didn't find that interesting at all. The part I did find interesting was the part when she's composing songs, when she's in the studio and with Marc Maron, and that was phenomenal. Give me more of that. Give me how she writes songs, how they're created. And the part at the end when she's in the church, I didn't care either. I'm like, all right, this is her greatest moment. I don't care. And I'm just like, and then the end of the film probably had a good scene too, when they show her playing in front of the Obamas. And then the script tells me she was an activist and hung out with Martin Luther King. And I'm like, why is that not in this film? Why is stuff that I would find interesting? What did she do with Martin Luther King? What did she do to help these movements? I mean, spending
They did show her friendship with Martin Luther King. She spoke at his funeral.
Right, but that's not what they said in the scroll. They said she was an activist. She walked. I want to see that stuff. What did she discuss with Martin Luther King? I mean, they both had a lot to say. Did she help him? Did she do anything for him? Like, that's what I wanted to know. Spending 45 minutes with this dick of a husband that we all knew was a dick from the party scene when they introduced him. We knew he was a dick. There was nothing here. At all. I really was disappointed in the direction of this film. I thought Jennifer Hudson did a good job with what she had to work with. I mean, I had no issues, but I mean, when you get a film that Aretha Franklin's estate picked and probably signed off on, that's a problem for me. Because that tells me all the good stuff is probably not going to be in there because they don't want to talk about it. So respect to me was just what not to do with a biopic. They only spent time on a few scenes that they wanted to promote the estate and not enough on the overall Aretha Franklin. There were really no bad moments. Nothing made her look bad in this film. I'm not saying Aretha Franklin was a bad person, but I'm just saying, show me why Aretha Franklin is the queen of soul. Show that to me. And I really felt this film, I walked away with, I don't get it. They didn't prove that to me. Yeah, she's a great composer. It's all I walked away with, and that's it. And she had a bad marriage.
Sounds like you felt disrespected.
Okay, I looked it up. The TV show I was thinking of was called Genius, and it starred Cynthia Erivo as Aretha Franklin. And I think Cynthia Erivo is just as good a singer as Jennifer Hudson. So,
I think she's better.
So and also with Genius, it was longer. You didn't compress the story, so you got a chance to expand on the moments, expand on stuff like the Martin Luther King aspects, and not just the few moments that he showed in the movie, which, like I said, it felt compressed compared to Genius, which, while still expanded, didn't get into everything. So I agree with Simon. This isn't a great biopic. The music was good because you expect it to be, but aside from that, there's not really much to recommend here.
Bob?
Okay, I see where Simon's coming from on all they said on the Martin Luther King point was, I remember him saying that anytime he calls her, if she could come out, she will. So that's the strength of their friendship. But it didn't expand on that. I see where you're coming from on that. The singing, they picked a good singer for that, but there was another biopic I can't remember what it was. But it also was a disappointment. I can't remember who it was or who the actress was. The point I liked when you said you were, she was composing songs and she was really good at that. I thought they transitioned, because I'm sure that there were scenes where they showed the actors doing the scenes and it sort of transitioned into, they must have had footage or something about it, because I saw like footage from, there was black and white footage from when she was actually composing the songs. But you're right, when it's like she was the Queen of Soul, give me something to explain why she was the Queen of Soul. This movie didn't do it. But I liked when she was composing the songs, of like respect and like how they got to, because there was it her sisters that helped her out on that one. Like they were sort of humming along with her, and they got just a little respect, just a little bit, and then it became respect. And I'm going, that was really well done. But I agree, it wasn't really a great film. I'd probably give it a 4.5 out of 10.
Wow, that's really rough for you, actually. Yeah. Listen, if Doug, I'm going to ask a question because I haven't seen the miniseries. Is it better?
I think so, yes. But I also think Cynthia Erivo is a much better actress than...
Oh, Jennifer Hudson can act. She's got an Oscar because she can sing. And that movie, Dreamgirls, was for that one big song she won for. Evie's big song in the nightclub, we know why she won. So does it get into the stuff I'm missing in the miniseries?
Yes, it does. But like I said, even at that, it's still, because she had such a big life, it still truncated some of that stuff. But it does expand on the stuff you're looking for.
Great. Okay, are we finally moving on to what we bought?
I was just going to ask, is that all about Aretha Franklin or is it about other people too? Because I thought that was like an anthology one.
It's like an anthology series, so each season is about one person.
Oh, okay.
So there was a season about Aretha.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, we can move on now.
Gavin, what'd you buy?
All right, I bought Zack Snyder's Justice League. It was on sale.
Nice.
There were a bunch of $5 superhero movies, so I picked up Darkman, Sam Raimi's Darkman, The Punisher, the first one with Thomas Jane, with probably the most restrained John Travolta performance I've seen in the decades. Super, which is a James Gunn movie. Yeah.
Is that Rainn Wilson?
Rainn Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And then just yesterday I picked up a digital copy of Castaway, which I'd never had, for $8. And then I upgraded my copy of Lincoln so that I could get all the extras. And actually, I watched that last night. Love that movie.
The extras or the whole movie again?
The extras, and then I watched the movie again. Actually, I haven't watched the whole movie, about two-thirds of it.
Kevin was up to like 4 in the morning going, okay, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, it was about 3 o'clock. I'm like, maybe I should go to sleep. So I'm enjoying these scenes between Daniel Day-Lewis and everybody, basically. Just couldn't focus anymore.
So. There's a guy I miss is Daniel Day-Lewis.
You have a Daniel right here. I'm always here.
Oh, we know.
He's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Anybody else buy anything before I go?
Yeah, I got a Blu-ray copy of Lilies of the Field, the movie Sidney Poitier won his Oscar for. I also got Blu-ray of Vera Cruz. It's a Western with Burt Lancaster, Gary Cooper. I love Westerns.
Now I'm pissed off you're watching something I haven't seen with Burt Lancaster.
Yes. So those are my two acquisitions.
Now, aren't you American and we're not? Where did you buy it from?
I got it on the website from the company, Kino Lorber. They're the people who made it. So I got it direct from them.
Bob, you got something.
But, I bought Clear and Present Danger in one of the Harry Potter movies. I think it was Half-Blood Prince.
Where did you find these?
Walmart, of course.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been to Walmart actually in about 3 weeks.
Oh.
It's kind of strange for me, but I know you didn't buy anything. You've been at the house in 2 months.
I left this house today to see a movie, but I have not found anything.
I want proof.
You want them to speak?
I sent a Snapchat earlier.
I don't have Snapchat. I'm old. I don't
understand. And also, how else would I have seen Shang-Chi if I didn't leave the house?
I know they send you free screeners. Don't lie to me. Okay, well, I finally made it to this thrift store near my cottage. I didn't realize it was run by one of those church ones, so it's not open Sunday. So I did try to go a few months ago on my way back. So I finally made it. I picked up a new DVD player for $14 because I gave away my other one when I got Blu-ray. But I discovered my Blu-ray and some of the discs I watch don't exactly like each other. So I'm having some issues there, but it seems to be working. But I do have a few of the films I bought. I have Nora Smoke because Alicia Witt's in it. This is terrible. I do have a Gene Hackman movie I want to know if Doug had seen called Split Decision.
Oh,
and
I've
never even heard of this. So I got to see it because Gene Hackman's in it. Craig Schiffer, who, I don't know what ever happened to that guy. I didn't think he was terrible. And Jennifer Beals, who's okay, usually. And this is because I'm Canadian. I had to pick this up. But this is a quality film. It's called Here's to Life. Eric McCormick, James Whitmore, Kim Hunter, and Ozzie Davis all go on a road trip. So this should be good because I've never heard of this. And this is why I like going through these bins. And I hate to say this, I found a Daniel Day-Lewis movie I haven't seen because I've never seen The Boxer. And it's got Emily Watson, who you can't go wrong with an Emily Watson movie. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Day-Lewis. But I'm sure Doug has seen that. And it cost me $1 each. So I was quite happy at the purchase of $1.
I think you overpaid on a lot of those.
What? Here's the Life, I did not overpay. It's got, come on, it's got Ozzie Davis in it. How could you go wrong? The one I overpaid for was this flaming pile of crap called Blue Smoke. This
you already watched it?
Sucked. Mm-hmm. Of course I watched it. Alicia Witt's in it. I have to watch it. She should have been Mary Jane. Alicia, Kristen Dunst, really? Alicia Witt, Kristen Dunst. You tell me who would you rather watch?
Oh, Alicia Witt, hands down.
Exactly my point. I'm out of here. So if they make people, it.
Oh. How many people are watching Netflix Seinfeld? None of them's coming.
I'm going to. The funny thing, I started a year ago and I watched like 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I saw the apartment episode and all I could think of was Kevin.
Okay.
You know, when George finds a great apartment and won't take it, and then Jerry should take it, and nobody takes it in the end. Mm-hmm. Never seen that one before.
Mm. Classics.
So I will watch Seinfeld, I promise. I will get to it at some point. Listen, I got to finish Below the Deck. I just finished season 3, so maybe I have time for Seinfeld now.
All right. How about what
if they make it?
Extra features.
I'm gone. You're not going to let me say this.
Extra features.
I'm going to interrupt everyone.
I've watched What If.
Okay.
Are we going to have a What If special?
We should have a What If special.
Okay.
What if we had a What If special?
What if we chose for each episode?
Because we could review every episode, yeah.
What if I stopped watching it because I didn't like it?
You would have two joining that train. There'll be two on that train, Doug.
You might discover there are a few you like after that. And then you'll thank us.
Doug, how far did you make it?
The zombie episode. I stopped after that.
Okay. Did you see the Doctor Strange one?
Don't watch the Doctor Strange one. Doctor Strange one's excellent. And I know the intern scene, none of them, because he doesn't have Disney Plus.
This one was good, too.
It's the same problem I had with the comic books, What If. The What If comics always had, you know, what if Aunt May was killed instead of Uncle Ben, and then the twist at the end is everybody dies. That's,
what
that
if
seems
the Beast
to be
and Ben Grimm
well,
kept
no, in the,
I like that.
In the Aunt May one, Uncle Ben lives, and then he forces Peter to reveal his identity to J. Jonah Jameson. And then the end, it's Ben Parker helps his, he's like his sidekick to Peter. He helps him fight crime.
I'm still thinking, what if Doug's barbecue wasn't possessed?
Ooh, that's a good episode.
And Daniel actually had good transitions in the part two of that story.
First got one of them was pretty good. I got one out of 11. One out of 11.
So
that's
can
what
we
I
leave
for.
Now? Can I finally go?
Extra features.
All right, start saying it.
If they make it.
Oh, hey, by the way, no.
We review it.
I'm out of here. You guys suck.